2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Coronavirus, our emotional wellness. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
I've called Dr. Angela Dunn, the Dr. Fauci of Utah. Well, now Dave and I are on a quest to find the Dr. Dunn of mental health in Utah, the person that's heading up our mental health response as a state during COVID-19.
And Debbie, I think we found her. Her name is Kim Myers. She's the state suicide prevention coordinator. She'll join us in a few minutes as we try to figure out what this state has planned to help Utahns, especially teens, that are struggling with their mental health due to the coronavirus.
This is really brought to light by a KSL television report. In fact, we had the producer of that report, Tanya Dean, on the air with us yesterday to give us more details. But here's the nuts and bolts of it. KSL TV reporting that 70% of teens are struggling with some type of mental health issue right now. Anxiety, depression, excess stress.
It's so hard to explain it because they don't know what it feels like.
It makes me anxious. It makes me upset that I can't really have that high school experience.
I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, my anxiety is just like taking over me, and like my depression's taking over me. I could not focus like at all, and it took me like 5 hours to do like one assignment. I'd usually just stay in my room and like not talk to anyone and that stuff, because it was just like I couldn't do it anymore, and it was just really hard for me.
When you hear it from the mouths of kids, it hits me differently. And I know it might feel like I'm banging a drum right now, but I think we've ignored this. I think we've ignored it too long. One of my biggest frustrations with the pandemic is we become so singularly focused on physical health that we're missing the mental health issues that are happening, the crisis that is happening with our teens.
Well, in the KSL television report, very much highlighted the huge increase in mental health issues that kids are now disclosing. 20% last year, which feels like
that was
too
high.
Much.
Yeah.
70% this year. In a few moments, 10 minutes from now, Dr. Tom Golightly, a psychologist at BYU, he's joined the show several times. He'll be on with us to answer your questions. And here's what he said, and specifically your questions about how you can deal with it in your own home. It's basically going to be a free therapy session on radio, okay? Let's just call it what it is. He told us mental health is health. Mental health is health. And we need to start treating it as seriously as we do viruses and infections.
Joining us now, Kim Myers, the state coordinator for suicide prevention. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you mind if we look at kids right now? How are they handling the pandemic?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, there is so many multiple stressors going on, and the pandemic is certainly at the top of that list. And really, the reality is the biggest story is like resilience and coping. But we need to make sure that remains the biggest story, and that kids are supported and people are supported in finding ways to take care of their mental health, to socially connect, to engage meaningfully in school, to engage meaningfully with peers, and to increase the skills that you know, allow us to manage the ups and downs of life. And as we age, we get more practice, right? And so kids haven't had as much practice dealing with kind of these ups and downs. And so right. We need to be more specific and targeted in creating those opportunities.
When we were talking about this with KSL Television's producer of that story that highlighted 70% of kids are now suffering from some sort of mental health issue, from anxiety, depression, distress, one of our listeners texted in and said, I don't know where to turn for therapy, and is there any free therapy available? And I thought maybe it would be appropriate for you to help answer that question, because I'm sure a lot of parents are wanting help for their kids, but they just don't maybe have the resources to find it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing we encourage every kid and parent to do right now is to go into your you know, most people have a smartphone, and so go into your smartphone and download the Safe UT app, and that can connect you to crisis resources. And really, that can be utilized from anything from how do I manage stress better to, you know, I'm so stressed, you know, I'm having so much despair that I'm thinking about ending my life. So really the gamut of just like general, how do I cope or where do I turn for resources to people in, you know, a very high level crisis. So download the Safe UT app that has trained licensed crisis counselors on the other side of that app ready to chat, or you can call in through the app as well. So you can chat on the phone or call in. But in addition, we encourage people to visit the Division of Substance Abuse and Mental Health website, and that can take you to where the local community behavioral health providers are. And it's really critical for people who are experiencing increased emotional, mental, or substance use related to concerns to receive care and receive it in a timely manner. We don't want to delay care, especially in the face of COVID-19. We hear that all of the time with the physical health thing, and it's true. Mental health is health, and so we don't want to delay care for mental health-related things either. And all services are open for care, and those, you know, you can often get it virtually or in person, sort of depending on the needs and availability and access to technology and such. But it's dsamh.utah.gov, and then it will link you to the local providers in your community.
Is mental health being heard on the state level? I can tell you every stat about the coronavirus. I've seen dozens of plans. But I'm not sure I can tell you what the plan is for mental health. When all these decisions are being made about the coronavirus, do you feel like the mental health side of things, are you being heard in saying, listen, if we do this, if we shut down schools or we close down businesses and people lose jobs, this will be the result? Do you feel like you're being heard?
I mean, certainly the risk factors for poor mental health, like uncertainty, unpredictability, isolation, economic vulnerability are all really exacerbated. And so I think in the beginning we had a very public health sort of response, and slowly but surely we have sort of moved into what is the more holistic issues that are being, you know, coming to fruition with the pandemic and with some of the other issues that come along with it. So yes, we're having a lot of really important conversations. You know, we had, the state has allocated funds from the CARES Act to mental health services. We've gotten other emergency funding to boost up mental health services. We are tracking relevant data weekly with key stakeholders to watch it. I mean, we don't have any indication of, for example, an increase in suicides or overdose deaths or those kinds of deaths of despair that come along with these with extreme sort of distress situations. So we're tracking the data. We're reporting it up to the task force. We're continuing to build out services. And also people should know that crisis services are always available 24/7 through the app we talked about or the Utah Crisis Line, which can be reached at 1-800-273-8255.
Kim Myers, thank you so much for joining us, the state coordinator of suicide prevention. The conversation that we've been having the last couple of days, Debbie, is mental health at the top of our mind because so many of us are struggling. And we're going to talk to a psychologist in the very next segment, Dr. Tom Golightly, and we're going to get our free therapy session out of him.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The coronavirus, our emotional wellness. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Well, you've been hearing Dave talk about this for quite a while. Mental health
during the pandemic. Are we doing enough?
Yeah, KSL TV found a study that says 70% of kids are struggling with some sorts of mental health issue, anxiety, depression, stress.
You're going to see increased restlessness, sleep problems, appetite problems, increased moodiness, and especially if a teen mentions anything to do with suicidal feelings or thoughts, definitely they need to get help.
And this isn't just a problem with kids. The CDC found 41% of adults had similar issues of stress, depression, anxiety, as well as increased substance abuse and thoughts of suicide. So joining us now is Dr. Tom Golightly. He's a psychologist and director of BYU Counseling and Psychological Services. Dr. Golightly, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We asked on Debbie's Facebook page, is your child's mental health at stake? And we got a bunch of comments. I want to throw one at you. They are at stake because the adult parents live in constant fear. Are the parents to blame, or are we freaking out our kids?
I think that can be part of it. Definitely the emotional state of the adults can trickle down to the children. I think there are more factors than parental reaction to this. Hybrid and online learning models are just very different. And if we pause to think about how much we learn about interacting with others in classroom settings from an interpersonal standpoint, from a group dynamic standpoint, and we learn a lot about cohesion, connection, cooperation, collaboration. And when we're not connecting with our peers or others, that's really going to take a huge, going to have a huge impact on our children's mental health, just like it does when we are not at work. You know, I know y'all did your show remotely, and it's different. It's just different. There's a different emotionality around remote learning and working, and it's kind of a difficult thing whether you're an adult or you're a child.
Dr. Golightly, another person posted to Facebook saying that their teen needs some medication. His parents concerned about the rule of thumb, how long they might need that medication, days, weeks, or months. What's your general take on that? I know you're not this person's doctor, but do you have any advice for them?
Generally speaking, we kind of have a rule of thirds going on where you know, about a third of the people that start medication stay on medication because it's helpful and they realize that this might be a thing that helps me live a more fulfilled life. About a third start a course, then they'll go off. Then when they need to go back on, they'll start another course. And there's a third that just really don't want to go down that road and don't think that's right for them. And as clinicians, we kind of explore those options with people. We refer to licensed physicians to make those prescriptions, but we kind of help them work through some of their concerns, and I understand the hesitancy. We don't want to rush to that, and it's good to maybe go to a clinician or your physician and talk about different options if you're worried about that. That doesn't have to be the first line of treatment, but I should say that the best, most effective care is a combination of talk therapy and medication for most anxiety and depressive or other mood disorders.
My daughter was telling me and describing to me what school looks like. And because we're on a hybrid model, so our kids are going to school at least a couple times a week. But she said, we're wearing masks. We're 6 feet away from each other in the classroom. She said, it's as quiet as a church, probably quieter than church, which is probably great for teachers. They're not having to hush anybody. But she hates it. Is there a downside to having quiet classrooms?
So we necessarily made classrooms as safe as possible from a virus spreading standpoint. But the potential side effect of that is a really emotionally antiseptic environment as well. There's a recent study published from a German psychiatrist that had been looking. They don't have summers off in Germany like we do here. And they were taking a look at the differences in wearing masks and being distant at school. And what they found was there are significant negative impacts on being in the hybrid and online models. One is we start to miss just nonverbal communication. I know this is not a school example, but I was walking through the supermarket a few weeks ago. Everyone is wearing a mask, and there's a woman going around saying, "I'm smiling at you. I'm smiling at you." And I'm trying to tell, "I'm friendly. I promise." Yeah. And it was hilarious. But that's part of, imagine being a kid and experiencing that at school. Sometimes I needed a friendly smile. Sometimes I needed some of that, those cues that I can't pay attention to with the masks and with distance. We miss cues of others' positive emotion, and we don't bond as well with those individuals. Also, expressed negative emotion tends to be amplified. And when we have really intense negative emotion, sometimes we have a hard time giving empathy toward it. We just kind of get freaked out by it instead of trying to connect and reach out with that person. The other impacts are bonding with teachers is way down. Connection with classmates is way down. There's some, I'm sure your daughter hasn't even met some of her classmates in person, which, so you know, true. How am I supposed to be comfortable learning around people that I don't really know? And that cohesion as a class is almost non-existent. So from a hierarchy of needs perspective, we're not really paying attention to the state that emotional physical safety and those types of things. We're just not, we're not meeting those needs, and we have no way to know that we're meeting those needs. So when our safety isn't being met, we kind of go into survival mode, and learning is a thriving activity. And I've heard from so many, I'm getting good grades, I'm just not learning. I'm not remembering. That's hard.
Dr. Golightly, you have to promise us you're going to be back with us soon. As usual, we are out of time, but thank you so much for your insights. And Dave, I got to hear more from Dr. Golightly, so let's make sure we get him back in studio with us or on the phone next week.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.